Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoy today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Welcome to the Claim Hunters. My name is Chris Tidball. I am your host, and I am with Taylor Smith from Suite 200.
Correct.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so I think this isn't your first rodeo. I think you were on last year.
I think so.
And I think we
2 years
talked
years ago, San Francisco.
Yeah. And yes. We talked, I think we covered your whole history back then. I mean, you're one of the most influential people in the industry.
Oh, that's nice.
And my understanding is you've been working on some pretty important numbers, trends. Like to get right into it. You know, what are you working on?
Well, so when we talked last, Chris, we had just completed the 2024 CLM Defense Council study.
Okay.
And these are a series of studies, the one we've just done now in 2026. This is the seventh study the CLM has done, going back to 2011.
Okay.
And these are surveys, essentially, of the industry, where they give us information about emerging trends and thoughts and opinions they have about things they're facing. And our role at Suite 200 Solutions is to take in this information and then feed it back into the industry in ways that people can make actionable and think about making changes to the industry that improve how our entire defense ecosystem works. Defense counsel, insurance claim executives, and all the service providers and vendors that serve both those groups.
Yeah, and I mean, so the trends are important, obviously. We work in a numbers-driven business, and we're always looking at trends. And some of the things that we see are rising severities.
Yes.
And we're seeing some crazy jury verdicts.
Yes.
And, you know, what are you seeing, and where do you see things going?
Well, I think that some of the more interesting findings from this current 2026 study revolve, I think, broadly around the emergence of the plaintiff bar's adoption of AI.
Yes.
And I think we see some of the, you know, the results of that in the data. You mentioned rising severity. We have a lot of rising severity now at a higher percentage, not of severity, but a higher percentage of executives who report that their indemnity costs have gone
right up.
One of the highest we've ever seen in doing this for a number of years. We also see a higher percentage of executives who say that their defense costs are going up. So this is sort of a double whammy coming and going there. Obviously, we have a higher percentage of represented claimants.
Yep.
We have a higher percentage of policy limit demands.
Yes.
So these are all things that probably aren't surprising at the end of the day to executives. But what is interesting is the study provides insight into how widely shared that experience is. It's
right.
not just them. It's a lot of people that are experiencing
yeah.
these same things. And that was unique. And our ability to look back all the way to 2011 on some of these data points is fun because for the first time, the industry can see exactly where they've been, you know, over that 15-year period, whatever it is. And we thought that was pretty important in this study. The plaintiff bar's adoption of AI, you know, just to set the stage for this conversation and others, is significant. You know, we talk about the fact that there are, you know, 6, 7, 10 companies now that are AI platforms designed to serve the plaintiff bar. And they include Even Up Law, Eve
right.
Law, Supio, Precedent, Taverna. There's a new one, Keenan AI now. It's been formed by the founders of the reptile theory.
Okay.
So these are important things. And I think, you know, if you look at the websites for these organizations, you see quickly that this isn't AI in the way the insurance industry might think about it, which often is about efficiency and doing things faster and
right.
better, but more quickly, maybe more cost effectively. These are solutions designed to extract larger settlements. So this is indemnity driven technology. And those, little stats that I rolled off about increasing indemnity and cost and, all that kind of policy limit settlements, that is all on the indemnity side for the
Oh,
most
yeah.
part, you know what I mean? And so that's where people are feeling the pain. One good thing, well, a positive thing, I should say, because it's not up to us to judge what's good and not, but one thing I think is healthy for the industry is that nobody is unconcerned by this. So we asked, are you concerned? And if so, how much? And not a single executive said they were unconcerned. About 80% sort of fall between significantly concerned and moderately concerned. And then there's a small group that isn't sure yet what all these companies do, and they don't really know them and haven't heard of them. These are, what I call insidious threats in the sense that the work product from all these companies never has those companies' names on it. They're preparing demands that are being sent to insurance companies and defense counsel under the banner of the plaintiff law firm. Although one executive did tell me, I thought somewhat amusingly, that sometimes they see on the bottom of the demand letter that little thing you get on AI chat. Sometimes it says, "Would you like us to turn this into a Word document?" I thought that was amusing. But anyway, so that'll give you a sense as to some of the initial things that came out of this study.
Yeah, and I mean, I obviously I think it's concerning. I mean, the rising severities, especially on your bloodline claims. I mean, we all pay for it, right?
That's correct, yes.
And people talk about rising premiums,
Yes.
which is a it's a problem across the country. It's
Yes.
no longer just individual jurisdictions. It's
Right.
everywhere,
Right.
and that's what insurance is, right? And it seems like there needs to be more education to the consumer that, these trial lawyers are, taking advantage of a situation. I mean, to be fair, there are people that are legitimately hurt and there are legitimate lawsuits
Right.
and, that plays out in court. But, I mean, what do they estimate? About 10% of all claims are outright fraud. And they say about a third of all medical bills are have an element of deception, upcoding, unbundling, modifier
Right.
abuse. That's a huge amount of money right there.
Right.
And these tools are just helping to exacerbate the problem.
Well, I think that's a perspective, Chris. I don't know that our study sort of delves into whether, this is good or bad. I think we see the adoption of this new and emerging technology as an inevitable thing, right? And I don't know that we find the use of the best possible tools by one side in an adversarial environment to be necessarily unethical or inappropriate or anything other than representing their clients most effectively, advocating for their clients. I think what the question that our industry can answer is what are our obligations to advocate on behalf of our policyholders and our insureds and the defendants we're asked to represent. We've had a long conversation, and we had a conversation today with some very interesting senior level executives talking about whether this is one of these scenarios whereas we experience worse outcomes in these cases, whether we can just pass it on as a function of premium. And we talked about the wide range of challenges that that creates for society, for business, for people who can't afford the high premiums, et cetera. But we also had another executive who predicted that in 5 years, possibly it could be considered malpractice for the insurance industry not to be using exactly the same kinds of tools that the other side uses. That this, their adoption of this technology really creates an obligation for to do the same. What's unique about the plaintiff bar's adoption of AI, in my view, is not that it's not the tech to me that is dangerous. What is dangerous to me is that it enables a form of written advocacy that is scientifically, empirically better than many of the practices that the defense bar, our defense teams, I'm not singling out attorneys, have deployed. And so here's a very simple example, just to make it very real. Written persuasion, written advocacy, written negotiation, scientifically, is more powerful than verbal negotiation. That's just a thing. And people know that there are a variety of reasons for it. I've written articles about it. It shifts the cognitive load. It creates portable documents. It creates a credibility in its own right. It's written down. It's evidence-based. You can
Right.
sort of, right? And so to come back and say, we reject your demand, but we'd be prepared to do X amount of dollars to get this resolved is not powerful persuasion.
Right.
AI has the ability to create these written documents, with evidence-based filled documents very well and quickly. And so the risk of all this, is not the technology per se, it's the ability to scale up effective persuasion at a
Right.
level we've not seen. It used to be that a small plaintiff firm could get out one demand a week.
Right.
They can do 100 now.
Oh, yeah.
Do 100. And they can ask it to be written in the voice of Ernest Hemingway.
Right.
It can make you break into tears as you know what I'm saying? And
Yeah.
so the question for the industry to me, I don't look at it as an unethical thing. I don't know that it exacerbates fraudulent behavior. I think the same number of bad actors and bad players as you've had before, they'll be using the tool as well. I don't
Right.
think it exacerbates that. The question in my mind is, what are the obligations for our industry to respond?
Yeah. I mean, well, we've got a fiduciary duty to our insureds.
Right.
So,
I
and
should
I,
say to society as a whole at that, because
yeah.
as we allow these, we talk, you and I have talked about social inflation, nuclear verdicts, legal
Right.
system abuse. Those are very relevant things.
Right.
People are seeing increases in indemnity, I believe, because they're being out negotiated as well.
Well, yeah, and you bring up a good point. I mean, it does seem that when we were coming up in claims,
Yes.
right? I mean, we negotiated everything,
Yes,
right?
correct.
We were out in this pounding the pavement. We were in
Yes.
body shops negotiating with shop managers. We were in law offices
Yes.
negotiating with lawyers, and we became good negotiators,
Right.
right? We learned because negotiation, it really is a skill,
Yes.
and not everybody can do it. And anybody can negotiate, but I think there's different degrees of success. Some people are better
It would
negotiators than
surprise you,
others.
perhaps it would surprise you to hear that more than 50% of offers extended now are extended by counsel and not by claim organizations.
That does surprise
Yeah.
me. And that's part of
Every
the
claim officer would like that statistic. A majority of claim officers would like that statistic to be lower
Yes.
because they believe, like you and I believe, that the claim organization should own that negotiation.
Yeah, you've
Right.
got to get, even in the, today, in today's environment where many adjusters are in the office.
Yes.
They're no longer,
Yes.
knocking on attorneys' doors and sitting
Correct.
down
Right.
across the table,
Right. Right.
but you still pick up the phone. You can
Right.
still have the conversation.
Right.
If you really want the face, set up a call,
Right.
right?
Right.
But I think that it's the path of least resistance. I mean, adjusters, I think, are very busy, number one.
You're overwhelmed.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's not changing.
Right.
And sometimes the outcome of that is the path of least resistance. I
Yeah,
mean,
I think that's accurate. I think there's somewhat of a lack of confidence with adjusters today because this the training that existed, many years ago when you and I were getting our start in this industry,
right.
much of that training doesn't exist now.
Oh, very true.
I do think that what is happening in the what I'm seeing an interest in the industry for, though, is more training around negotiation. The
Yeah.
CLM is launching a number of things around negotiation in its attempt to respond to that
Right.
need. But I think that what I'm observing is there is a shift now from treating negotiation as an art
Right.
to treating negotiation as a science. And if that's the case, that's relevant because we
Right.
negotiate to a conclusion roughly 98% of every case we have. It is the most fundamental skill in our
Oh,
industry,
absolutely, yeah.
without doubt, right? I mean, you and I are in agreement there. And the whole idea of beginning to deploy scientific principles to negotiation, which include anchoring and framing and concession management and all and written advocacy over verbal, those kinds of things, I think, are give claim professionals confidence if it's
Right.
taught to them.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things that I think would fascinate you, it fascinates me, is I talked to two very senior leaders at this conference, both of whom shared me that they're using AI to create negotiation training modules.
Okay.
And so imagine a scenario where you give this tool to any claim professional and you give it a scenario, and that claim professional, in the privacy of their office, their own home, without being judged,
Right.
viewed, scored, anything, learns to negotiate in a better way with
Yes.
AI-driven responses. And of course, that can be used in the customer service environment.
Right.
And, in the scientific environment of learning how to negotiate, there's a big focus on personality profiling.
Right.
We as an industry tend to take those personality profiles and look outward. And we say, like, we're going to use this to identify why are they acting the way they're acting.
Right.
What we've not done historically, and what we can do now with AI, is say, let's turn that inward.
Yeah.
We have a tremendous impact on these negotiations. How are we acting?
Right.
How are we wired? How is our personnel? How do we act? How are we acting under stress? And these AI tools allow that to happen in very gentle ways that build confidence. And I'm
Right.
fascinated by that
Oh,
because it
absolutely.
means you don't necessarily have to go and pay for training. You don't have
Right.
to send your people off site,
Right.
but you can give them best practice skills in
Right.
this interactive way. So anyway, I'm looking forward to learning more about what these two companies have done
Yeah.
and how that can be applied to others as
Yeah,
well.
and I think, that is, clearly, one of the solutions, I think, is, you get better at negotiation, you're going to get better outcomes.
Yes.
I mean, that's, that's.
Well, let's run the
But,
math. I mean, what's fun for me is to run the math on that. Let's
okay.
take a $10 billion company. Okay,
Right.
10
Sure.
billion premium. And everyone can look up sort of where that falls in the realm of
Right.
the kind of companies they know or perhaps work for. A 10% improvement
Right.
in indemnity, that's a big number, 10%
Absolutely.
improvement,
Yeah.
right? It's about a $330 million improvement to the combined.
Right.
Okay. And that's a big number. So that's about 7% on a combined ratio. Just to level set, EvenUpLaw claims that they increased the value of settlements by 30%.
Wow.
So let's assume some of that's hyperbole, and maybe, my intelligence would suggest they're probably getting closer to 10 to 15%.
Right.
That's that number applied against a $10 billion
I mean,
company.
it's
That's
huge.
a loss ratio hit,
Absolutely.
and I don't think we're going to see that for a while because if you're an actuary, you're looking at what happened 3 years ago,
Right.
not what's happening now. And so that will come to light. And so in the study, we talk about being on the forward edge of a storm. And there's a general sense that I got from the executives who participated in this study that they sense there's an impending. We're hearing the thunder. Maybe we
Right.
should put it that
It's,
way.
yes, it's off in the distance, but it's
Right,
approaching.
right.
So the study, is it available for people
It
to
is
review?
absolutely available. I should be able to quote the full link, but I can't. Here's what I can tell you. You go to suite200solutions.com.
Okay.
One of our pages says studies.
Right.
Click on that studies page. It's the very first one there. It is free to download. We encourage more people to download it.
Okay.
The purpose of these studies is to foster dialogue around the topics we highlight. That's it.
Absolutely.
Doesn't make recommendations necessarily. It
Right.
says, here are some facts, talk amongst yourselves. One of the things that came out very quickly, which I think is as relevant as all the AI stuff, is that insurance defense firms are experiencing a generational staffing crisis,
Oh, yeah.
the likes
Heard
of
that.
which we have never seen. Nobody in our industry today has seen a staffing crisis at this height in insurance defense firms ever.
Right.
And that's a big deal for
Right.
everybody because who are you going to partner with to protect your
Right.
policyholders and insureds and work on your cases? And that's magnifying some of the friction that happens between firms and carriers all the time, whether it's
Right.
about billing or staffing or guidelines. Many, some, most, you can define your own term of the guidelines we have now, for example, around staffing cases. Who can work be on a case? Can you have
Right.
two attorneys? Because there's only one. They have to have a certain tenure of experience, et cetera. I would argue obsolete because you're giving these guidelines to firms that are just trying to meet basic obligations
Right.
at this point. 40% of the carriers in this study, 40% said that they've had panel firms ask for a halt of assignments in the last 6 months, I believe, is
Wow.
the time frame. We did another study there. The CLM did another study as part of the litigation task force. And that was a survey of law firms.
Okay.
100% of those said they have asked for a halt from at least one client in assignment.
Wow.
So you get the idea that that's happening at the very same time that the plaintiff bar is adopting all this
Right.
AI, which raises the obvious question, and that is who should pay for the AI investment needed to counter all this? And right now, as of this study, not a single person said that the carrier should pay. Half of them said the law firm should pay for it, and half
Really?
of them said they're working on a policy. And the answer to that question, in terms of adoption, to me, is who's most incented to put these technologies in play?
Right.
If people look at it as an indemnity protection play, maybe the carrier should pay. They stand to benefit the most.
Absolutely,
If
yeah.
it's a cost and efficiency play, depending
Right.
on how people are defining AI, you could argue it would be nice to have the firms pay, but they're the ones looking to lose the most in an hourly billing model by
Right.
being more efficient.
Right.
And so maybe the solution, and that's what much of this conference is about, is, is the billable hourly model still the right model in this modern age? Could there be other
That's
models,
a really,
right?
really good question. Yeah.
Right, and probably worthy of its own podcast. At some point, it's a
Right.
big topic. Now,
It
I will
yeah.
say this. We did ask people to identify on a scale of 1 to 100
Right.
how well they think, and these are buyers of legal services, how well they believe the hourly billing model aligns the interests of defense firms and carriers.
Okay.
And we got the lowest score we've ever received, which was 52 out of 100.
So let's say we move away from the traditional billing model.
Yep.
What are the other options out there?
Well, some of them are, I'm hesitant to use the word alternative fee arrangements only
Right.
because it's an older term that never quite took hold at the scale.
Right.
And when we ask about non-hourly billable now, people tell us that they're only using non-hourly billable models on less than 6% of their files.
Okay.
So that gives you a sense of how
Yeah.
much the hourly thing dominates. But there are subscription models where
Okay.
you just pay a flat amount for having that file open, and then you measure performance by making sure that cycle time doesn't get extended or in
Right.
fact gets shorter. And if you begin to incent law firms, in my view, to be more efficient, they have a much greater interest in this AI
Right.
because anything they can do to be more efficient on some kind of capitated model where you're getting paid X to do Y,
Yep.
they want to do that X as efficiently as possible. But there are a myriad of different sort of alternative models, but it all involves at its core the idea that it's a capitated fee.
Yeah.
You don't pay more to do more, you don't pay less to do less.
Right.
You pay for the management of handling within guidelines that make sense, and then you measure the outcome. And if
Right.
nothing came out of this study more than anything else, it's that our industry has defined litigation management to a significant degree by how we manage the costs
Right.
involved. And we all know that the big dollars are in the outcome of these
Oh,
things,
absolutely.
right? So anyway, there's a lot to study. I think the report itself is 150 pages for what it's worth.
Okay.
I would encourage people who are brave enough to download it to just read the executive summary and some of the key findings, and I think they'll find those
Yeah,
interesting.
no, I think this is fascinating, and we could talk on this for hours. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Chris, thank you very much. I'm always flattered by your interest in what we're doing.
Yeah,
So
I think
thank
it's
you.
great.
Good.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.